I don't know if you've ever been caught up in something unexpectedly. I've spoken in the past about my own experience in London and the bomb attacks there. And I've mentioned as well those in Belgium who just were going to the airport as normal or catching their train as normal. Simon from Cyrene experienced exactly the same thing. We're told in verse 26 that he was simply coming in from the countryside, whatever that means, at the point when Jesus was led away. And that's how he ended up carrying his cross. We find ourselves as we open Luke here then that we are ourselves being caught up in the events of that first Easter. This pivotal, this ultimate moment in the spiritual life of Christ. We've been looking at this theme, haven't we, the last few Sundays of the spiritual life of Christ. We've seen him grounded. We've seen him anointed. We've seen him retreating. We've seen him praying, we've seen him weeping. And now he's crucified. In the hours approaching his death, he is betrayed and denied. He's beaten and then tried. He's rejected. He's inspected. He's mocked. And he's decried. And all of this was a spiritually demanding moment. For Jesus, this must have been, well, he must have been physically and emotionally exhausted already by the time that he reached the cross. Thankfully, back in the garden, we're told that he was strengthened by an angel. But now at this point, it's almost as if he's on his own. However, there are two things in these verses that Lynn's just read which Jesus speaks, and they're very revealing. The first one, Father, forgive them. The second one, you'll be with me in paradise. They're very well-known phrases of the Lord Jesus, and I wish we had time to do justice to both, but I'm going to focus on the first and leave the second for another year. In verse 34, Jesus famously uses this phrase, they don't know what they're doing. Bill even quoted it in his poem. And it made me think back to Peter in that other story we looked at recently on the Mount of Transfiguration, not knowing what he was saying when he saw Moses and Elijah meeting with Jesus. We do, and we say things, don't we, without even knowing why. So when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, was he exonerating the soldiers for just doing their job? Or was he aware that if his accusers had seen him like he'd been on the Mount of Transfiguration in his true radiant glory, they wouldn't be doing this to him? Either way, what they certainly didn't know was that everything they did was determined beforehand according to God's will. As Luke later puts it in Acts 4, verse 28. But in all of this, in this whole statement, maybe more apparent immediately, is how, despite the horrors of his sufferings and his impending death, Jesus maintains this extraordinary generous love towards those who are exhibiting only violent hatred and spite towards him. It makes me ask the question, do I, as I come to share this morning in the Lord's Supper, do I consider myself a martyr for the cause in some situation, some relationship, while actually harbouring bitterness and spite towards those people. I think I'm like the Lord Jesus, and actually I'm not. If so, then I need to look to the cross. I need to see Jesus in his suffering for me. I need to pray, Father, forgive not them, but me. And I need to love generously and say, they didn't know what they were doing. I wonder too if this verse gives us legitimate reason to pray, Father, forgive them, over our neighbourhood and over our town. Before you think I've gone mad, let me explain. I don't expect God to forgive without repentance. The two seem to go hand in hand in Scripture. But Jesus was praying this over people who hadn't repented. They hadn't done anything. In fact, they were in the midst of their sin. In a moment, we'll read the words of the centurion, declaring Jesus to be innocent. Or in other Gospels, even the Son of God. Does that show that Jesus' prayer was answered? Or is his prayer for a specific forgiving of this sin, you know, like Stephen at the end of Acts chapter 7, when Stephen prays for his accusers and says, don't hold this sin against them. Those words, Father, forgive them, are a challenging thing for us to pray. When we experience persecution, do we pray, Father, forgive them? Sometimes the building is a little bit vandalised. The guttering gets broken yet again, and I don't think it's done accidentally. Or the windows are bashed in. What do I do? Do we pray, Father, forgive them? When you get a dressing down, or when you get mocked as a Christian, do you pray, Father, forgive them? When Jesus comes into the conversation, and instead of people warming to that, they seem to run a mile, do we pray, Father, forgive them? But most of all, can we pray, Father, forgive, in the hope and expectation that God will visit our neighbourhoods and soften hearts to repentance? Let's remember this Easter that Jesus didn't die only for those of us who believe. But he died for the world. He died for those who are yet to believe. And if only they, like Simon, would walk in on Christ at his crucifixion. Hear his words of forgiveness. See his glory, his humility, and his love. Let's pray again together, shall we? Lord Jesus, on this Good Friday, as we reflect again on your sufferings, we find it upsetting, saddening. The things that you suffered, the things that people did to you without knowing even what they were doing. But Lord Jesus, thank you that you didn't hold that against them, but you prayed, Father, forgive. Lord, each of us is guilty of doing things and not really knowing why we're doing them. Sometimes for good, often for ill. Father, thank you that you are the forgiving God. Thank you that in the cross of Jesus, we witness the depths of your love and your grace for us. And the fact that the Lord Jesus came to seek and save the lost, and to bring forgiveness to us. Lord, we want to pray today for those who do not believe, those who haven't heard. And we want to echo Jesus' words and pray, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they are missing. And we want to pray then that you would visit our neighbourhoods in power through your Holy Spirit, and that you would bring forgiveness here. We want to pray that people in our neighbourhood would say, like that criminal, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And would hear the assuring words of Christ, I tell you the truth, today you'll be with me in paradise. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.